The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth. Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Slots.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And Sean's our producer this week. Eric isn't here. We'll see if Sean can school Eric once again on the which ended higher and whatever else he's guessing on this week. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on until 8 o'clock. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. You can call if you have a question on a value of a collectible. Or if you just have a neat collectible you want to tell us about, we've got a drawing at the end of each show, and we're giving away this week. Last week's winner didn't claim the prize, didn't get in contact with Vince at ercdelivery.com, so the prize carries over to this week. It's a 2017 Top Stadium Club baseball box and a 2017 Panini Certified football box. So all you have to do, when Vince picks the winner at the end of the show, you have to email him by Thursday and set things up where ERC Delivery will deliver straight to your door. Now, I know a lot of people have to get to work or wherever they're going and can't listen at the very end of the show, but all three of our websites have a rebroadcast of the show where if you called in or if you tweeted something and you want to see if you won, tcrowntom.com has it, ercdelivery.com has it, and hugginsandscott.com actually has all of our shows on there. You got to dig a little bit to get it, but they have them all on there. So if you think you might have won, check it out and then contact Vince by Thursday. This week is Labor Day's Monday, so I'm going to be closed at Triple Crown. We are
24/7, 365.
You're always,
never close.
Always doing something. Bill Huggins, you guys, is your shop going to be open on Labor Day in the Washington, D.C. area?
Oh, yeah. We're open. I think I talked to Brian. He said he's going to stay open until like 5 o'clock. We're normally open until 7:30 on Monday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's good. So if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, Huggins. Now, what exactly city is your shop in? It's not in Washington, D.C. Where is it, Bill?
We're in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C.
It's about 15 minutes north of Washington. Closer to D.C., but also not that far from Baltimore, kind of right in the middle there a little bit.
Did you guys catch any of that bad weather from the remnants of the hurricane that was heading northeast from Texas? Has that hit you guys?
Well, I think we're going to get some of it today.
Wow, isn't that something? What is with that hurricane? It's like the thing that wouldn't leave. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
Absolutely terrible.
Oh, what a mess in the Houston area. Oh, my gosh. Good luck to all those people getting it all clear. Cleaned up and everything. Okay, well, we're going to go over some items that Huggins and Scott already has a lot of items up for their fall auction. Bidding begins October 30th and ends November 9th. Some cool stuff up there already. I'm going to try to name mostly stuff where they already have the pictures up with them so you can see them. But some of the items, if they don't, they'll be adding pictures as things go on. They get the items up there, and then a lot of times they'll get the pictures up later. But here's a Pete Maravich signed handwritten letter on Pistol Pete Enterprises stationery. This is kind of interesting. It's dated 11/23/1987, and he died January 5th, 1988, and he's talking about his health on it.
Oh, wow.
So he must have been having some health issues that somebody had contacted him about and was writing back on it. So that's a $500 minimum bid on that one. Here's an something different. I vaguely remember these. I don't know if I ever had any of these or not. There's a lot of four 1968 Topps action sticker strips. Some are removed. I seem to remember sticking a strip, you know, on something like a comic book or something. Did those come out of the regular packs? Do you know those action strips, or how did people get those?
Oh, that's what they call a test issue. In mid-60s, Topps, well, they issued dozens of these test issue things. I don't know what they were testing for, but yeah. Because most of them were just a one-and-done thing. But,
yeah.
No, they were in their own packs.
Okay.
I don't know where they were issued. Most of these test issues were in very small market areas. I don't know how they picked which area. Like the Topps Minis were very big in the Detroit area, I know.
Hmm. Yeah, well, there's some good names on here. You got Killebrew, Yastrzemski, Dick Allen, Joel Horlin, who was a really underrated pitcher for the White Sox, Roberto Clemente. Listen to Joel Horlin from 1964 to 1968. His ERA to innings pitched each year, 1.88 ERA, 210 innings, 2.88 ERA, 219, 2.43 ERA, 211, 2.06 ERA, 258, and 2.37 ERA in 223 innings. In 1967, he was 19-7 with a 2.06 ERA, 0.953 WHIP, and a 5.5 WAR. He was really good.
Jeez.
67 was the year that they had that pennant race going out of the end, that the White Sox were in it with the Tigers, the Twins, and the Red Sox, and the Red Sox ended up making it, and that's where Hawk Harrelson was on that team. He talks about that team all the time.
Did Horlin get hurt? Did he? What happened to him?
I would imagine after that streak, he kind of faded, so probably had some arm troubles that they always tried to pitch through them at the time. There weren't many surgeries, but that was right around Tommy John was a teammate of his. And
Tommy,
isn't it funny that Tommy John had that surgery called Tommy John surgery?
How coincidental. Yes. Right. What are the odds?
Somebody, I guess people have said that to him sometimes. Well, they named it after me because I was the first guy that was lucky enough to have it.
Yep.
Danny from Norridge is on the line. What do you have, Danny?
How you doing?
Good.
I've got a pair of white Everlast leather boxing gloves. I got them signed by the big middleweights at the time, Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, Boom Boom Mancini, Hagler, and Hearns. I just had them authenticated from PSA, and I was just wondering what something like that would be worth.
That's a good group. Bill Huggins, have you ever run like a crew like that together on boxing gloves, like a group that's, you know, really good boxers together like that? We've
lost Bill.
We've lost Bill Huggins into the – well, we'll check with Bill. I would imagine that's probably in the $300 to $500 range, and then we'll see what Bill thinks about it. I don't know if he heard that even, but really good item. Now, did you get those in person?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. That makes it all the better. So even if you're not going to sell it, you know they're authentic. You're 100% sure on that. Bill Huggins, did you hear about these Everlast boxing gloves?
Yes. How many people are on them?
Five.
Five. And it's two gloves or one glove?
On both gloves. I've got three on one and two on the other. And there's pictures of all the guys signing them, actually.
Yeah, you're looking at several hundred dollars there easily. I don't know that that you're going to get to 500 to 1,000 on those, but...
Yeah, I thought maybe 300 to 500. And you never know. You just never know on something like that. It could do well. Dennis from Arizona tweeted a picture. A friend of his has a 1963 World Series champions ball, the Dodgers, and it's got Koufax. But there's a couple of negatives about this ball. I retweeted it. It's shellacked. Okay, which makes the signatures are nice and bold, but there's also spotting on the ball that you can see through it. So I'm figuring probably with that, maybe 200, Bill. Does that sound right? A couple hundred dollars for a ball like that?
Yeah, I don't think that was a championship. You say 63?
63. Yeah, I think the Dodgers won that year, actually.
Well, if they won the championship that year, you're looking at probably 500 or more on a championship ball.
Yeah, and a cleaner ball, though. This thing didn't look that good. That spotting. Now, how much does you don't think shellac hurts that much?
Well, it just depends on how heavy they gobbed it on there, you know.
Yeah.
So I've seen some that are almost brownish. We just got a 42 All-Star ball in from a consigner that sent us a bunch of balls. Didn't, and we did some research and found out it is a 42 All-Star ball. And it's just lightly shellacked. And these signatures are bold, clear, crisp, and readable. And I think a lot of people don't mind that as long as it's done nicely, because those signatures will never fade, unlike other balls. Or, you know.
This one looks like it took a bath for about 2 weeks in a thing of shellac. pretty thick.
An issue, then, yeah.
And you can still see the spots on the ball through it, where I don't know that I've ever noticed that before in a shellac ball, that there were spots and shellac, but somehow it must have been spotted before. I don't know that it would spot after being shellac. That's something past my... my schooling.
Yeah, mine too.
I didn't take shellac class at school, but it probably was taught to me somehow in, I don't know, chemistry, whatever. Well, the number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can call if you have a question about the value of a collectible. We've got a prize package of a 2017 Stadium Club baseball box and a 2017 Panini certified football box that you get in the drawing at the end of the show. If you do call in, or if you tweet a picture of an item that we use on the show, you get in the drawing also. So people can tweet things. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. I've had some cool stuff brought into Triple Crown in Naperville this week that's on its way. Already a lot of good stuff that we've sent in for the Huggins and Scott Fall Auction. Peter from Northbrook came in. Mel Ott was a 5'9", 170-pound power hitter. He was actually the first National League hitter to pass 500 home runs. He had a high leg kick that he must have gotten a lot of his power from. His 162-game average, 304, 30 homers, 110 RBIs, 110 runs, 414 on-base percentage.
Wow.
155 OPS plus, so 100's average, so he was way above average, and a 5 WAR, 101 walks and only 53 strikeouts. He played 35 games at the age of 17. I didn't even realize it till this week that Mel Ott, at the age of 49 in 1958, was in a car wreck, went to the hospital, and died a week later. So that's part of why I guess his autographs go so high. Huggins and Scott had that single signed ball in August that went for $35,000. But Peter from Northbrook, his father was on the board of directors of the New York Giants and then the San Francisco Giants when they moved to San Francisco, and he had a great collection of Giants stuff, including
That was the guy who sent in the 42 ball that I was just talking about.
That one had shellac on it. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yep.
And
that was the same guy.
Yeah, he had one of them was signed Melvin Ott. He had three different things that Mel Ott was signed. And you guys already have up in the fall auction another lot that he had that I thought was pretty cool. Three items were in it: a 1937 All-Star Game wallet with Melvin Ott All-Star in gold print on the interior of the wallet, another 1942 All-Star Game wallet with National League All-Star 1942 Army-Navy relief in gold print on the interior, and a Mel Ott 3.5 by 5.5 George Brace photo postcard. That three-item lot has a $200 minimum bid. Really cool stuff that he had. And the story with some of these autographed items and some of this stuff, he had a letter that Mel Ott's wife had sent to them where she was sending them items that she wanted them to have. It was well after Mel Ott had died, but she just the fact that they had that, when you get letters like that, Bill, doesn't that help kind of ease the thought process for bidders if they're thinking, you know, how legitimate the items are?
Oh, the provenance that goes with this guy's stuff is amazing. The ball, like you mentioned, that has Melvin Ott on it, we traced that thing back to 1929, which is very, very early in his career.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that was cool. When he had this stuff in, and I always email people to let them know that their stuff has gotten to Huggins and Scott, you know, because it's FedEx tracking. And he goes, like, well, thanks for all the help and stuff. It's like, I love looking through stuff like that. I mean, this was history I'm looking at. It was really cool. So it's time for a short break. Now the number's 312-332-3776. You can call us if you have an item you'd like to know the value of, or you think you have something that might be valuable. And you'll get in the drawing for the 2017 Stadium Club baseball box and a 2017 Panini certified football box. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can call if you have a question about the value of a collectible, 312-332-3776, where you have a nice prize package, a 2017 Stadium Club baseball box and a 2017 Panini certified football box. Gideon tweeted that to our attention. He's bringing his Jay Cutler jersey to Champaign to get it signed by Lovey Smith. What could be more valuable? Well, I could think of maybe a few million things. Cutty signed by Lovey. What a combo.
I think he may have a surprisingly good year. I think Miami is playoff.
He's got to stay healthy. I don't think he'll stay healthy. I think that's going to be the whole key. But, you know, who knows in football? You never know.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think he suddenly gets smarter.
He's got a lot of weapons, though, in Miami.
Not that he's not a smart guy, but his on-field awareness has never impressed me. When you compare, like, how Rodgers, who's one of the best ever, but how he just seems to know what he needs to do to get that big first down.
Yep.
Jay never seemed to really... Yeah. You know what I mean? They never seem to have a grasp of that like some of the really good quarterbacks. Well, here's something that's up. I like the background story on some of these things that are in the Huggins and Scott auction. This is a 1945 NFL championship game, full ticket, PSA 2 with a $150 minimum bid. In this game, Sammy Baugh, the Redskins quarterback, threw a pass that hit the upright and was recovered by the Cleveland Rams and was ruled a safety, and the Rams won by 1 point because that. And I guess the owner of the Redskins went nuts, and the rule ended up getting changed after that. So you never know what's going to end up changing a rule. I never knew that story before. That was pretty cool, though. Brett from Lake Zurich's on the line. Thanks for waiting. Brett, what do you have?
Hey, I have... When I was a little younger, I went to a Michael Jordan basketball camp. We all got autographs. I have an official NBA basketball with him signed, his signature on it. It's got the authentication sticker with the authentication document right with it. And I got a nice case. I'm just curious on the price of that.
So you said that was a camp where Upper Deck was there and did the authentication?
I don't know if it's Upper Deck. I'm not sure to whoever it was. It was authenticated as soon as gave it to him, shook his hand, he signed it, and before I even got it back in my hand, it had the sticker, and I was given the document.
Yeah, that's good. I'm pretty sure. I think Upper Deck used to do that anyway most of the time. So that's probably going to be at least a $500 or $600 ball, I would think, the Jordan single-signed basketballs. Bill, isn't that, as far as you know, at the camps, was it Upper Deck, or was there somebody else that did that also? Oh, I think we lost Bill again. He's cutting out. The phone line's cutting. Oh, you're here,
I'm
Bill?
Here.
Okay.
Yes. I think it was Upper Deck that did that.
Yeah, I think for most of the camps, at least, if not all of them, that when there was somebody there doing it, I'm pretty sure it was them. This is an interesting item. Brian from Naperville, tell us what you have, Brian.
I've got a 1968 charcoal drawing of Adolph Rupp that the Lexington Herald Leader, the newspaper down there, commissioned when he got his 700th coaching win.
So this is the original drawing? It's not a print?
There were several of them that were produced.
Okay.
I don't know how many. It's not numbered. But, no, it's an original charcoal drawing.
What do you think of that, Bill Huggins?
Well, I think what he does have is a print of it. I have seen those before. If it is the original, that would be more significant. But I have seen prints of those Adolph Rupp things, and I think they did some other Kentucky basketball players at the time. Is it signed?
Yes, we actually have a couple teams. We actually have a couple different seasons, full teams as well.
Right. And are they signed or no?
They're not by Rupp or any of the players. It's just the artist's name is on it.
Right. I like I said, I've seen those sets, the team sets or something, sell in the $100 to $200 range.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Joe from the Northwest Side, what do you have there, Joe?
Yeah, happy Saturday, everybody. I got a 1934 Leo DeRocher baseball card from the Gowdy Gum Company.
Oh, yeah.
It has a vintage black fountain pen signature. It's PSA DNA graded authentic signature with a grade 4 for the card, but it's definitely a vintage black fountain pen signature.
Wow, that's cool. So you've already got it authenticated.
Yes,
it's signed by Leo DeRocher.
Yes, signed by Leo DeLip himself.
Now, where are we reverberating here, Joe? Where are you?
Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean, why are we getting this reverb? Are you hearing that too, Vincent?
I am.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got his radio on. Have I
gone into the Twilight Zone?
I don't know.
Bill Huggins, you think a few hundred on that? Or what do you think?
Oh, well, I think we've had one of those before. They'll get 500 to 1,000, depending on how old and how beautiful the signature looks.
Yes. Oh, that would be a Huggins and Scott auction item. I got to get off that. That was the Twilight Zone music could be going in the background of that one. I wonder where he was that it was doing that. Okay, let's see who's waiting the longest here. It looks like we have Ken from Wheeling on the line. What's up, Ken?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
I have brand new Michael Jordan hats from his restaurant in Chicago.
And he was there for some opening recently, wasn't he? Was that the one? Is it in Oak Brook, maybe? Or are you talking about something different?
The one that was downtown.
Okay. And
the original one that closed up, Michael's.
Okay. Yeah. So are they signed by Michael?
Yeah, they are not. They're just regular baseball hats in the Carolina blue.
Well, that's kind of cool. I don't think there's a lot of value to them. Good thing to wear to a party, though, without a doubt. Okay. You can wear the Jordan party hat. Maybe if he's, I don't know, if I'm meeting Jordan, though, I don't think that's what I would want to get him to sign. I think I'd get something else to sign, a card.
Basketball or something.
A basketball or a baseball even. But, yeah, but I don't think I'd get him to sign the old Jordan restaurant party hat. Kind of cool, I guess. Sure. Anything's kind of cool. I don't know if that's affiliated with Jordan, but not necessarily that valuable. Here's Jack from Justice. What do you have, Jack?
Hey, how you doing, good buddy?
Oh, Jack, what's going on?
You know, I had to call and check with you.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a great holiday.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, but what I got for you, a friend of mine bumped there to Mayweather.
Really?
And he had a sports magazine, and he signed it. How much is Floyd Mayweather autographs worth?
Well, he has some, his cards are, I think he was in Pop Century. I haven't seen anybody get one,
okay.
But most of that stuff, it goes for $200-$400. What is it that your friend got signed?
He got signed, I think it was like a Sports Illustrated magazine. Ooh. He signed the magazine.
Where he was on the cover.
He bumped into him in Vegas.
That's actually a good item to get signed. What do you think, Bill? $200 to $300 for a Mayweather SI signed?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, that's probably the range you're in.
Yeah, sure. That's good, Jack.
Okay.
So you doing okay?
I'm doing all right for a big guy.
All right, very good. Talk to you later. Have a good holiday.
You gotta love Jack.
Yeah, you know? He likes the show. There's no doubt about that. Now, I guess we're going to have to wait. We'll do. Should we do which ended
it's
higher?
It's up to you. It's your show. Your name is on the show.
I don't have the music, though. I still don't have this thing up.
You
we'll
could hum it. You we'll could sing it yourself.
I could, I guess. We'll see if we can get this thing going before the next break. Because we got to have the music. We got to have the Price is Right music.
It'd be kind of funny to see you hum that jingle about the Price is Right. You know, you're kind of a...
But I would have to hear the tune in my head to get into that track, and then I could do it. Like, I could sing with Pearl Jam if I have it in the background.
Sure.
Elvis, I can sing with them, but I have to have that in the background.
Got it.
I don't know how well, but I can sing with them. I'm right in the same pitch. Matthew from Lake Zurich. What's up, Matthew?
Hi, I've got a Kansas City Monarchs hat signed by Buck O'Neill.
Oh,
that's kind of cool. Now, how old is that hat?
I'd say it's probably about 10 years old.
Okay, so, yeah, it would have been. Bill Huggins,
Maybe 12 years old.
How cool would have been if you could have had a game-worn Buck O'Neill hat that was signed from the old days?
Well, you're going to need to find the music for the cash register.
Yeah. Yeah, right, that would be awesome.
That would have been pretty sweet.
One from 10, 12 years ago, or, you know, I don't know what year he died, but if it's from the last 20 years or so, what do you think, Bill? Maybe $50, $75, something like that?
Yeah, well, it could be a couple hundred. I don't know. Buck O'Neill was such a nice guy. He signed so much
stuff. Yeah, he was a great guy.
You know, and he lived till, in his 90s, I think, you know.
Yeah. I think he was one of Ernie Banks' good friends, actually, Buck O'Neill. Maybe a coach on that team for a while, so... Okay, next on the line we have Brian from Porter, Indiana. What's up, Brian?
Good morning, gentlemen. I also have some Michael Jordan thing, a few plates, the porcelain plates, commemorating different points in his career from the Bradford Exchange.
I think most of those are dependent on the size. Some of them are $10, $15 for the smaller ones and maybe $20, $30 for the bigger ones. I don't know of any that have... really taken off. Do you have a bunch, like any early issues or anything like that?
Well, I have one here that says 86 playoffs, 88 slam dunk champion.
Oh, that's pretty cool. 91
championship, 92 champions, 93 champions.
Look at you.
Most valuable player, the comeback.
Oh, those are cool. So you have them like lined up around the kitchen or something on the wall above the, or how do you have them set up?
No, they're on wooden stands in my display case.
Oh, that's cool. I bet they look good. Bill Huggins, am I missing anything, or is that a lot of those Bradford Exchange still in that price range per plate?
Well, unless he's got them signed, I think that when they issued those things, some of them had a signature edition as well.
Ooh.
And it would tell you right on the back of the plate.
Well, there's a signature on all of them.
Yeah. Well, not the stamped-on signature, though, Brian. This would actually have to be hand-signed for it to be there.
It would tell you on the back of the plate that this is an authentic, you know, signed, plate by Michael Jordan. It's, you know, if it doesn't say that, then a lot of times it's just the printed. Machine printed signature.
Any Jordan autographs where he's in on a card or any memorabilia where he's in a Bulls uniform and signed and authenticated, there's going to be good value to that. Time for another short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can give us a call with a question about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a 2017 Stadium Club baseball box and a 2017 Panini certified football box. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery. There it is, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And our producer this week is Sean Davis in for Eric Ostrowski. So once again, he can school him on the which ended higher. And it is time for Which Ended Higher. Each week, Vince Clementi will be given three items that ended in a recent Huggins and Scott auction, and he's going to try to tell us which ended higher. Last week, Vince was wrong. Eric was wrong. My wife, Carolyn, was correct, Vince. I just wanted to let you know. She wanted to make sure you knew that.
No problem.
Okay, the items this week. A Ted Williams 1930s George Burke postcard size photo. A 1952 Bowman large football complete 144 card set, low to mid grade, with a PSA 6 Tom Landry card. And the third item is a Mickey Mantle 1953 Topps card number 82, graded PSA 5. And of those three items, Vince, which ended
higher? Is the Ted Williams signed?
No.
Okay, gotcha. Well, for me, it's a pretty clear, easy choice here. Number three, the Mickey Mantle 53 card.
Well, well, well. Oh, wait a minute. What happened here? It's is.
Oh, you're kidding! Really?
And this is at the bottom of the thing. There we go. The board's funky today. Jeez. That's all I can say.
It had to be the 52 set then, right? If I was,
it
right.
Was. Yeah. Yes, the 52 Jeez. Bowman large foot. Oh, and I didn't ask Sean about it. Okay, well, Sean,
next time.
Which of those three would you have guessed? Would you have been correct or incorrect?
I probably would have been incorrect.
Okay.
Because I would not have been specific in asking whether or not the Ted Williams was signed.
Okay.
I would have assumed.
You would have thought that one was signed and you would have guessed that. Okay. Yep. Yeah, very good.
Honest man.
You know, actually, the Ted Williams went for $1,800.
Wow,
that's
nice.
Pretty good.
That is.
The Mickey Mantle, $2,600, and the set went for $2,900. So, Warren, do you have an item that's $2,700? Warren from Bolingbrook, what's up?
Not much, Ed. A quick question. What is there a rule about money that's signed? I have a $5 bill that's signed, and I didn't know if it was illegal to deface it or if it's traded or not.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of different. I remember one time seeing a bill signed by Ed Sullivan and Babe Ruth that sold in an auction. So that's okay. Now, who signed your $5 bill?
Okay, so I grew up in Wheaton, Illinois, and I went to high school, to the same high school that Chuck Long went to, and he came back after he had success at Iowa. So I had Chuck Long sign it, I had Jimmy Pearsall sign it, and I had Jim Rose from Channel 7 sign it.
Okay, well, Chuck Long kind of defaces it a little. But actually, that's kind of an interesting trio. Are they all from Wheaton, or you just happen to see them?
No, well, Chuck Long went to Wheaton North, where I graduated from, after he went there. And Jimmy Pearsall happened to be a frequent visitor of a little convenience store that I worked at when I was a senior in high school. And he'd come in all the time, and I got him to sign it. And then when I was at Northern Illinois University, Jim Rose came out for some sort of seminar or some sort of speech he gave, and I got him to sign it then. So it was all within a series of 3 years. So, but I know Pearsall and Long both lived in Wheaton. So,
well, it's not exactly Babe Ruth and Ed Sullivan, but
no, I would not say so.
But you do have something that's a nice display on the wall, where he had a nice frame, you know, and he's got the story to tell people about it. That's kind of cool, but. Yeah, I think he'd be having trouble maybe getting a whole lot more than the $5 back on that. You know it's worth $5. Right. He'd Minimally. Be able to get $5. Now, Alan, what do you have? I don't know how much more than $5 this is going to be unless it's game worn here, Alan.
Yeah, no, it's not. We were we went to the Cubs playoff game, and it's when Sosa hit his 66 home runs that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they just opened the right field bleacher seats that for the playoff games.
Okay.
And they came through and they handed everybody just in the right field bleacher seats a hat that says Sosa 66, the Cubs. And I've just always kept it. It's just a new hat. I didn't know if that would be – because you couldn't buy them. And I just didn't know if that would be worth anything. Or
but it's not signed by Sammy?
It's not signed. It's just a stitch, a signature on
it. Yeah, just a cool.
But there was only about 25 of them, I think 30 of them that they handed out.
Cool hat. And now that one, I think I probably would get signed by Sammy if you were ever going to see him. But his stuff is just, there's no demand really for Sammy right now. He's on, he's really gone down the tubes as far as popularity. He was so popular for such a long time, and now he's really gone down the tubes. So I don't think there's much value to that one at this point.
I don't see how he can get his popularity back anywhere near what it was with his whole reaction to the PEDs. I don't speak English. No comprende. Yeah. I mean, that's
I think if he just came out and spilled the beans, it would probably make him a lot more popular. Yep. I really do. Look, I've been living with this, and I want to just say exactly what happened. Whatever, good, bad, indifferent.
Yep.
I think if he just was truthful, I think that would help his popularity.
Yeah, people would forgive him. We can forgive, but don't just keep up the lie. You know?
Especially when it's so, it seemed so obvious what was going on with it. Brandon from Schererville is on the line. This, what you have here is leads to some other good stories here, Brandon. So tell us what you have.
Good morning, sir. Let me just start off by saying this is not my most expensive, valuable item that I own. This is a very sentimental piece to me, however.
Okay.
I was not even a football fan until I watched Andrew Luck throw the football his rookie year in 2012. And once I witnessed the greatness that is, I became a huge Colts fan, huge football fan, huge collector, sports memorabilia, autograph person.
Okay. Now, go ahead.
This is a Nike Salute to Service white Andrew Luck signed jersey with his number.
And not a game worn, but an official Nike jersey.
Yes, sir. It is PSA DNA.
Okay. Well, before we get to the value of that, this leads into fantasy football. Andrew Luck, the question is, when is he going to start playing? Now, if you're a big Andrew Luck fan, Brandon, do you have any insight on, it doesn't sound like he's starting game one. Is he going to play in the first five games? Is he playing this year? Is he starting game two or three? What have you heard about that?
I will not predict because that's a very touchy situation this moment. Saturday. I think that if I were in charge of that situation, I don't think I would play him for a while. I honestly don't. And I don't want to sound negative, but, you're talking about somebody that's going to play for the club for a very long time. And, you know, that's a serious thing that happened. And he played through it a long time. So he's probably not in great shape, to be honest.
Well, Bill Huggins, what do you think a jersey of his would sell for right now? And then let's say he starts playing after a month and he starts playing just like the old days. Would the value climb at that point? Is it down now, Bill Huggins?
Well, you're right. The current guys, their value is really dictated by what are they doing on the field. And when you're not on the field, you can't do anything. However, it is a little bit of a plus because you can't do anything bad either. So
that's true. Go ahead, Bill.
It's probably in the $200 to $400
range. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And then where do people pick him in fantasy football drafts? He seems to be going pretty late. Yeah. You've been in a lot, Vince. Where do you see him typically going?
He's going in maybe the eighth or ninth round in the ones I'm in. But a lot of question marks. Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, what's going to happen with his suspension?
Yeah.
Is he going to go down to two games, four games?
Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of question marks.
That'll have a big influence. And then you got all the rookie running backs. Yeah.
And then you're in a draft with somebody who keeps taking your guys, which you continue to do every year. Take the guys right before. I'm going to get them. There you go.
I had no choice. I went with Kareem Hunt and Dalvin Cook early in the first four rounds because there were so many guys that got protected, so many running backs. I'm like, I did AJ Green first round, and then I'm like, I don't want to pick some guy that I know isn't going to be a good running back. I want to pick somebody that maybe could be a good running back, and
that was a good choice when you took him.
It seems like especially Spencer Ware had just gotten hurt. And I was thinking of picking Kareem Hunt maybe fourth or fifth round anyway. But as soon as I saw Spencer Ware was out for the year, I moved him up quite a bit. So
good choice.
It'll be interesting to see how he does. I know that the NFL predicts me 0-13. Do you ever look at that thing? It's where do these guys come up with their predictions? It's like ridiculous. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, the number is 312-332-3776. We're giving away a top stadium club baseball box and a Panini certified football box, and you can still get on the show if you have a question about the value of an item and get in the drawing. Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show. Meanwhile, let's go some of the other items that are in the Huggins and Scott auction that are already up on the website. A Walter Johnson single-signed official National League Baseball. That's nice. $5,000 minimum bid on that baby. It would be interesting to see what that does. There's a Derek Jeter game-worn home jersey from 2001 with a $2,500 minimum bid. Here's in the category where any celebrity can sign a baseball. Here's an Elton John single signed baseball. $200 minimum bid on that one. I don't think I've ever seen one. It'll be interesting to see what that goes for. You know, we had guys bring in stuff to me at Triple Crown in Naperville. Sometimes they like the show and they want to show me what they have and I'll tweet a picture. Sometimes they bring stuff up that they want me to send to Huggins and Scott. Here, Tom from Aurora came in with, he had some really neat stuff. He had Killebrew, McCovey, and Billy Williams signed Topps rookie cards, plus a 1960 Aaron signed card. That vintage card, especially the vintage rookies of Hall of Famers signed, have really been doing well lately. So it'll be interesting to see if they're authenticated, how they do. And then he had some nice 61 Fleer basketball cards. Elgin Baylor rookie, Oscar Robertson rookie, Jerry West rookie, Len Wilkins rookie, and a Walt Bellamy rookie. Walt Bellamy is kind of overlooked in that era. He was the first pick in the 1961 NBA draft. He was Rookie of the Year. He averaged as a rookie in 1962 31.6 points a game. As a rookie, I think he had something like 18 rebounds a game that year. His career average, 20.1 points, 13.7 rebounds, and 2.4 assists. So, I mean, he was really good. And he was on that 1960 Olympic team with three other Hall of Famers. Can you name one of them?
The
1960 Olympic team had three other NBA Hall of Famers on that team. Can you name one of them?
Jerry West.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you name another one?
How about around that time, I'm going to take a shot, Oscar Robertson?
You're Ooh. Right again. Yeah, I don't think you get the third one. Do you want a hint on the third one?
I'll take a hint.
He, I think, could memorize the entire phone book.
We just talked about this guy last week.
Yeah.
Jerry Lucas.
Jerry Lucas.
Yes.
Sean, awesome. would you have been in on any of those?
Yeah. Clue gave me the answer.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Steve from Libertyville is on the line. What do you have there, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Good
morning. Hey, listen, I got a hold of a book called The Bulls Run at an auction. It was signed by both Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Now, where did they sign?
Inside the book, Michael was on the front cover. Scotty was on the next page.
Okay, Bill Huggins, is that pretty typical of where you want a book signed if you're getting a book signed as far as the value of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's also different people who like it signed on the. I guess it's called the page that the. Of the title page, I think it's called. A lot of people like it signed on there. Some of them like it signed on the cover. I think it's a personal preference thing.
You think a Jordan Pippen dual signed book, maybe $400-$500 in that range?
Sure. Yeah.
That's good. And we've got Dan from Chicago on the line. What do you have, Dan?
Hi, guys. I had a Mickey Mantle signed baseball. Yeah, I was wondering if it's worth getting authenticated.
It's a single signed ball on an official baseball?
Correct.
And
how
bold is the signature and how white is the baseball?
The baseball's 95% white and blue ink, clear autograph.
Okay, so there's no spotting on the ball?
No.
Okay. Bill Huggins, what do you think of that one, a Mantle single-signed ball? It sounds like a nice signature and a pretty white ball.
Well, in answer to our caller's question, it's definitely worth getting authenticated in order if you were going to sell it. But the Mantle balls like that is the way he described it there. $400, $500, $600. Does it have any inscription on it, or is it just Mickey Mantle?
Oh, he's gone already. I didn't even realize I did it. I got the quick trigger finger there. It's like, why isn't he responding? Oh, I already hit the delete button.
Chops, I didn't even know I did. Yeah,
maybe he disconnected. I'm going to say that he did it on his own and I didn't do it. Tad from South Bend, one quick call left, real quick. What do you have?
I have this is from Reggie Jackson's autograph company. It's a Joe Montana stat ball. It's a baseball signed with all of his college and pro
a baseball or a baseball or a football, Tad?
This is a baseball, and it's number 1 of 400.
Oh, that's cool. I would think in the $100 to $200 range on that one, and it's already time to do the drawing.
Time goes by so fast in the studio here. This week's winner is Danny from Norridge. So, Danny, email me your address to vince@ercdelivery.com. By Thursday, I'll deliver right to your door free of charge.
And really, if you're check our websites for a rebroadcast, because yes, this is a good prize, a baseball box. Absolutely. And a football box. Don't forget to check out HugginsAndScott.com. Lots of items already up for the fall auction. I'm Tom Morgan. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. This week I'll be closed on Labor Day, but I'm there all the time. If you have a cool item, you want to bring it in, I'll take a picture and tweet it. And then if we think it's good for Huggins and Scott, we'll send it there. So have a great Labor Day weekend, everybody, and thanks for listening.